Good eye, mate. Happy Holloway.
That is a very impressive Australian
this
accent.
This is WWE superstar Rhea Ripley. I'm doing like an infomercial thing. And if you're looking for a t-shirt, she's Australian, right?
I haven't heard her promo yet.
Click on the show notes and follow the Turnbuckle Boogie Brainbuster Tees link to get a t-shirt or a hoodie.
I have no words.
Let's boogie. Who would have thought I could do such a terrible Australian accent?
There was notes of it that were very nice. Mm-hmm. I think you should give yourself a little bit more credit, sir.
And I thought it would be funny that she sounded like a dude. From behind, anything goes.
Hey, man, I personally think that she's gorgeous, but I've always been attracted to women that could beat my ass. So.
Sure. Well, she is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even if you've seen like old pictures of her with like long hair, it's like, woo. But there is a thing, and I don't mean to be crude. Let's say you're in a position where you see a lady from behind, and she, I don't need to spell it out, but you get what I'm saying. But she's got the shoulders of a linebacker.
So
it's a tough mental block to overcome.
Not for me, because I remember before I was in a gym consistently, I would look at females that would be lifters, and since I didn't have a frame of concept, I would think about it the way that you did. But now when I see a woman that is a fucking tank,
yeah, when she's got traps like Brock Lesnar,
yeah, I'm like, yo, you worked really hard for that shit.
Right. And then you get hard.
Sure. If you wanted to ask specifically what floats a boat, sir.
I'm just saying, Rhea Ripley from behind is probably not too different from Brock Lesnar from behind, and that would be a tough sell for me.
Not for me. That's actually, I would buy a ticket.
Now we know where you stand. Wink,
yes.
Wink, I got you.
Yes.
You know that you're the second pro wrestler I've seen this hour.
Really?
Yeah. 1 hour ago, I went to Capriotti's. Who should I see there chilling out? But D'Lo Brown.
Oh, hell yeah.
And, well, first of all, I'm wearing a CM Punk shirt, and that's a hot topic, so I didn't want to be like, hey, but also, I just don't like bothering people I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being bothered by people I guess I don't know.
I understand that.
Right, so I didn't do anything. I did happen to sit next to him, because we were the only two in the Capriotti's, and it was unavoidable. He was staring at his phone. You know, he has a very specific shape of head.
Yes.
And also he was wearing an Impact zip-up hoodie, so dead giveaway.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I imagine a lot of other... But we were the only two people wearing wrestling merchandise, and we barely spoke a word to each other, because I just don't like bothering strangers. Oh my God, you're D'Lo Brown.
Yeah. D'Lo is normally always pretty cool when you approach him.
Oh, I'm sure that he is.
Yeah.
But it's still weird that a complete stranger would be like, hey, bro, what the fuck?
Right. And if I've ever in a situation, I think that we possibly have talked about this on the air before, but I've found that if you get an opportunity and if you have a conversation and you talk to them like a normal human.
Right.
You know, and...
The problem is, I'm not a normal human being. I'm a goddamn supervillain.
There it is.
And, you know, I ruin people's days.
I don't know if you can ruin a day as bad as I can ruin a day. Some people think I'm a supervillain, too.
Actually, you know what? That brings up a funny thing. I had a minor meltdown this week. This is tough. I was devastated. Earlier this week, I went to McDonald's in the morning because I was running behind for work. and went there to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter, you know, a cup of coffee, what do you think that takes? A couple minutes to make?
They you pour it in the cup.
Sure.
You put the sleeve. They don't even have sleeves. It's an insulated cup, then. Yeah.
Right.
Should be pretty easy.
Yeah. A couple minutes. But they're busy. So I, you know, and I have a protocol. Treat everyone in the service industry nice.
Yes.
Because they're probably miserable.
I've actually put over your drive-through etiquette to Casey the other day.
Right. And yes. I'm always the same. Hey, how's it going? How's your day? Whatever, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, the guy behind the counter was a fucking dick. Not only to me, but every other person who waited there for 20 minutes before me.
It happens. Yep.
And but he was not like some young kid. He was probably my age. And I believe he had to have owned the place. And every person that came up would come up and go, oh, hey, can I get a napkin? And in the middle of their sentence, he'd turn around and just walk away. So when it came to me, I just thought like, oh, you know, coffee, this should be pretty easy. He came up, gave you the, put the coffee on the counter, said, 262. And it's like, and then I came up and then he grabbed some sugar and stuff under the counter. I said, oh man, actually that was supposed to be on the inside or whatever. And he turned and walked while I was saying that. I said, oh, sir, excuse me. And he goes, that's how it is. And then and disappeared around the corner. And I took that coffee and I fucking just tipped it over. So it exploded behind the counter.
Hey, man, that's good. Hey.
The entire lobby, which had filled up in the 20 minutes I was waiting, were shocked. Like, oh, my God. Immediately, you know, I talk a big game. I was immediately humiliated and embarrassed, and I just turned and fucking left. I was so mad that this guy, you know, I responded to rudeness with rudeness.
Well, you know, I don't know if you're... You're talking to somebody who
you can see the good in what I did, right? But what I did was probably there was a big wait. There's a bunch of kids that work back there who probably are miserable as fuck who were going to have to be the ones grabbing that mop. This guy right. isn't. I ruined probably a bunch of people's day. I was really disappointed in myself.
Well, I'm not going to say that I'm proud of you, but I'm not going to say that I'm disappointed in you because I am a big celebrator of people that will not tolerate bad behavior.
It's not bad behavior.
Yeah.
It's, I have this weird thing about manners.
Yes.
Like base manners. Like
I do hello, too.
You know, I start conversations with hello and how are you? I always say please and thank you. I generally am hanging out with a smile on my face, trying to be a good, decent human being because that's what I'm projecting because I'm hoping those vibes will be returned in kind. And every now and then you meet someone who takes that either for granted or advantage of.
Yes.
And it pisses me off. But in this particular instance, I fucking snapped. And I, like I said, I was embarrassed. I fucking was miserable the whole day. You ever have like an anxiety shit, not to get crude, where you've just been riddled with anxiety, you're upset that, and it fucks up your gut. Then you go home and it's like, oh my God, poop is the worst.
I don't know if I've ever had an anxiety shit, but I mean, I have had moments where anxiety has triggered emotions recently. I also had an experience in public, and it was, there was a kid that was fucking around, and he was about probably 17 years old. Probably, I mean, old enough to know better.
You'd and, say that, but, you know, I generally give knuckleheads a pass up until they're about 24.
Regardless, he is in Winco, and he's riding the cart and putting himself inside of it. And he ends up knocking over a coffee display. And then he proceeds to turn. And the only people that saw what happened were my wife and I. And he laughs and then just gets on his cell phone and starts texting.
Right.
So I walked behind him and he didn't even see me at all. And I pushed the cart very affirmatively of like, hey, no. And he turns around, and the look on his face let me know that he has gotten away for years.
Yes.
With being a fucking shithead. And today was the fucking day that he wasn't going to get away with it. And then I just looked at him. I'm like, you going to clean this up? And then his sisters, there was three of them, walk through the other aisle and see what's going on. And he's like, well, I got to get out of the cart first. Would you like me to help you get out of the cart?
Right. That turned this motherfucker over.
And the whole entire time, Casey is, Cody, stop. Because I, unfortunately, also have an issue with people not using manners. And I think that I have years of post-traumatic stress of dealing with the general public when I had to wait tables.
Right.
And these people that they get away.
Right.
And you know that they're treating you like shit.
The customer is always right.
They're treating their fucking barber like shit, their banker, like their family members, their neighbors. And you just know that they're a bad person. And anytime I will openly admit this out loud, there is a satisfaction that I have seeing the look in people's faces when then the buck fucking stops.
Right.
And it's like, today's not the day. And I have had a lot of altercations with people. If I see somebody treating an employee at Starbucks poorly, I will step in and say, you do not get away with getting to do that to that person, because they can't defend themselves, but I will defend them.
Right.
Don't do that. And I, even other scenarios, if I've received bad service, I've let the person know, hey, I understand that you may be having a bad day, but it's not my baggage to carry.
I just realized that I should tell people, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. My name is I'm pro wrestling historian Timothy Styles. And with me is pro wrestler Cutthroat Cody Hancock. This is a pro wrestling show. Eventually, we will talk about pro wrestling.
Fuck around and find out. But, you know, I wish everyone always ends up reacting at me like, Cody, you can't be doing stuff like that.
Right.
Cody, you can't be doing stuff like that. But my issue is that there's not enough people that do stuff like I do. And right. I feel like if we governed ourselves a little bit more,
right,
I think that people wouldn't get away with as much.
Tokyo Sandai Kessan, 今度は PWF ヘビー級の選手権試合、レイスとバのリターンマッチを迎えます。まずチャレンジャーのこの男、アリーレイスの入場。アメリカでのリターンマッチをキャンセルされたために、このグランドチャンピオンカーニバル急遽乗り込んでまいりました。ミスタープロレスのタイトルにかける執念を何かこの見たような感じがいたします。果たしてホームリングセントルイスチェッカーゾームでの敗戦をこの東京のリング上で雪辱できるでありましょうか。13年間も戦い続けるハーディーレイスとジャイアントとはまさに過酷な勝負の世界であります。チャレンジャーの立場、ハーディーレイス。さて反対側の花道、どうしてもハーディーレイスのチャレンジを受けなくてはならない今回ジャイアントとは、世界最強タッグリマッチの最中に初防衛戦を強いられます。しかし今度は王者馬場のホームリング、条件的な有利かと思います。そしてまたリマッチ1回戦ではザ・ファンテの時間切れ引き分けで3点を獲得、さらにはまた長崎大会でハンセンバスキーからインタータッグのベルトも奪回に成功しています。再び二冠王に返り咲きました世界のジャイアントの馬、これを見つめるハーディーレイス。 PWF のベルトはもうこの男、ジャイアント馬場の代名詞、絶対に渡せないところであります。盛り上がってまいりました。1万1000人のお客様、東京体育館。 PWF のヘビー級の選手権に先立ちまして、日本テレビから両選手そしてレフリーの城樋口さんに今花束が贈られたところであります。これよりリング上ではタイトルマッチ宣言、日本テレビの運のスポーツ局次長によりましてタイトルマッチ宣言が紹介されます。 1万1000人のお客様に会場が待ち宣言が今読まれました。そしてチャンピオンベルトが返還されます。ジャイアントババ選手としては今夜原点に戻りまして防衛の再出発であります。初防衛戦、そしてこの男16回目の防衛戦を阻んだ男ハーリー・レイス、チャレンジャーであります。これより両選手の紹介。
ビーダブリューヘビー級選手権試合60分一本勝負を行います。青コーナー挑戦者270パンドのハーリー・レイス。ミスタープロレス、今向かう、しかし実力者ハーリー・レイス。赤コーナー、ビーダブリューヘビー級選手権試合320パンドのジャイアント。
The problem is there are a lot of people who look, they're not justiciars.
Right.
Vigilante justice isn't always great if it's, say, served by a knucklehead, you know, or somebody who, in my case, hadn't had his morning coffee yet and was treated rudely. And on top of everything else I have to deal with, look, I'm a pro wrestling historian. I'm a pro wrestling fan. Let's face it, for the past month, pro wrestling has been the equivalent of just metaphorically doom scrolling, right? All the news has been fucking awful. The shows have been, the AEW, I watch it, I watch from week to week and I go, where the fuck is, fill in the blank? Where's Powerhouse Hobbs? I haven't seen him in a month or so or more. You could say that about any number of pro wrestlers. Then you go, maybe I'll watch a little WWE. I watch for 5 seconds and go, God damn, will they turn down this fake crowd noise?
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a constant white noise at all times. It's like something smells wrong here.
Just people are just in the crowd with their mouths open going,
Yeah. Yeah, so here's this thing I'm super passionate about. I find it to be mildly lackluster currently. All the news behind the scenes seems to be just sourpuss news. And then some guy treats me like shit while I'm waiting for a cup of coffee. Fuck you!
Yeah, and it's always when you daisy chain all that shit together that it ends up creating magical moments.
Right. Because to all the people in the lobby, they just saw a guy who didn't get sugar in his coffee flip over a fucking cup of coffee.
Right, and that
also... They weren't there for the 20 minutes I was going, what the fuck's with this guy?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, even... And so I have the same reputation in wrestling locker rooms that I do in the real world.
I'm a bad influence, I guess.
Hey, but, could you have done something differently? Yes. But at the same time, maybe what you did made that guy possibly realize I should hold myself accountable for my actions and maybe I should stop treating other people badly if I want to make it through the rest of my day.
I wonder that. I wondered if he stopped for a second and went, maybe I've been treating all these people bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When, it's the morning rush, he's probably clearly busy. Probably didn't have the benefit to stop and do a little introspection.
But for me, I've been in scenarios. Valentine's Day and Mother's Day in the restaurant industry were doomsday.
Yep.
And no matter what, you were walking into a 10-hour shift, whether you wanted it or not. And it was always wall to wall and things like that. And I know that the pressure that I had to handle, I had to handle quite a bit of pressure. So it's hard for me to be sympathetic to somebody.
Right.
And I'm sure it possibly started. The thing is that when people carry stuff like that with them,
right,
it typically doesn't even have anything to do with their work day. Like this dude probably woke up and had an argument with the mother of his child or some situation, somebody.
I'm willing to bet it did revolve around his workday, because working at a McDonald's in 2022, surrounded by a bunch of children that you've hired, probably fucking sucks.
Right, but at the same time, everyone, you hired them.
Yeah, exactly. You hired a bunch of people because that's who's willing to work for minimum wage.
Yep.
Who, they all get treated like shit, and that vibe gets spread around.
Well, and that's...
This was my CM Punk moment, by the way.
Yeah, and
I went into McDonald's, basically an AEW media scrum, and went, fuck this, and turned my coffee over.
Yep.
Which was me basically shitting on the entire roster.
Well.
Well,
thankfully you didn't have a dog involved that lost two teeth.
Oh, Lord. Have you ever heard the word camp used so often in the past 3 weeks?
No.
I've talked to CM Punk's camp, or I've talked to this camp. So many fucking camps.
I didn't know that there was camps.
Yeah.
Like
summer camp, winter camp.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's so funny about it.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't heard the word camp.
It's really... I understand being disenchanted with what's happening.
Yeah.
I normally always say, like, hey, let's be careful about talking about certain situations and certain people.
You have a career that you would like to not spoil.
Things like that. But I can be honest, like, with this one is, like, hearing stuff like this and also dealing with being in a city that is... oversaturated, like, and
with what?
With wrestling.
Oh.
And with everyone's political bullshit and
their ideological beliefs.
Don't get me wrong, there's great promotions to work for. I'm happy to work for these promotions.
Right.
And Future Stars of Wrestling just had to cancel a show for students because there's two shows that are running in the same day. And
already besides yours.
And yes. So Joe made a wise decision and said, you know what? Just we're not running the student show.
It's a smart move, man. I'll tell you, James Mattern called me two nights ago. Comedian James Mattern out of New York. He's traveling around with Chris DiStefano.
Hell yeah.
Who's on fire as a comedian right now. And they were performing in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Phillies are in the playoffs. So no matter how popular he is, and he is, I'm not going to say it was a wasteland, but let's just say all the seats weren't filled.
Right.
Everything about the show sucked. It's one you wish you could cancel.
And it's a shame, though, because it's a beautiful time.
Right.
Because wrestling is popular again.
It's thriving.
Very much so. But unfortunately, what is also thriving is the backstage turmoil. And this person thinks that they're better than this person.
Right.
And I see people backstage at shows, and you can like see the look on their face when they feel like I'm not getting my slice of the pie and all that other shit. And it's like, man, well, I'll tell you what, man, like there's a lot of pies and people might be getting full. And I also have a lot of the same feelings. Is like one of the best companies that you could actually find work in right now, at the very top of their roster, is this childish, bitter infighting. And now it's turning into, the story just keeps on getting crazier.
Yeah.
The only thing that could like put a cherry on the top of this shit Sunday as if somehow Teddy Hart's cat was also involved, you know, at least one of them,
okay.
Because Teddy Hart had a bunch of fucking cats, like animals are involved. And I don't have a dog, but if I owned a dog and if someone broke my dog's teeth, I'd probably knock a motherfucker out too.
Sure.
And just to even hear about all this stuff, it's
childish and stupid.
And it sucks. But for me, what's been getting me through, and this is why I'm a little bit bummed out that this student show is canceled is that there's some really great kids at FSW right now. And
we should give context for the people out of town. That's yes. Future Stars of Wrestling in the city of Las Vegas.
Yes. And
that's a promotion that you train at.
That I am one of the head trainers for that company. Yes. And granted, it's a temporary thing. You know, the kids will get their opportunity, but
right.
It's, you know, like what's the light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. you know, and like, oh yeah, let's all work really hard to get a job in a place where people are acting like this. It's insane.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you hear like, one of the things AEW wants is like, or doesn't want is they don't want egomaniacs. They want a cool locker room and all that stuff. And yeah, that's great. But, I guess it's tough to say. We've talked about this a lot in the past of how, you know, people with ego, they generally the ones that, you know, really reach to want to make the wherever they're at kind of better, at the very least themselves and whoever they're working with. And,
yep.
You know, of course there's people who take it too far and they're the sociopaths or the assholes, but having that amount of passion, a lot of people can misconstrue as, oh, that guy's a dick or whatever. You know, I got to tell you, it seems like every week, I know we just did an episode on Chris Jericho last week.
Yeah.
Every week you hear something out of his mouth and I just go, geez, what's with this fucking guy?
Well, and the only thing that I listened to from Jericho in recent was his interview with Hammerstone, which I was proud of Hammerstone getting that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really nice interview. But the one thing that's keeping me going right now is I get to create.
Right.
I'm having a great time at the school and I'm bringing things to the table that I have a lot of confidence that are not being brought to the table when it comes to professional wrestling training. And right. I think that it's stuff that is innovative and unique and is also helpful for anyone that comes in. We get a lot of people come in from out of town now.
Right.
And like, oh, well, I'm just in town and I brought some wrestling gear. And it's like, okay, well, where do you train? Well, I train with Davey Richards down in St. Louis. And it's like, okay, well, let's get in the ring and see you do some stuff. And it's like, okay, well, where are you? Oh, I'm from California. Oh, I'm from Chicago. And I'm getting this really big opportunity to help right now. And that's what I'm not watching weekly.
Right.
I'm not paying attention to what the fuck's going on in the dirt sheets and shit like that.
Right. And that's the benefit that you have, right?
Thankfully.
When the industry is overwhelmingly stupid.
Yeah.
At any given time, because it's cyclical. It'll mm-hmm. get bad, it'll get better, it'll get bad, it'll get better. Right. You have the power to shut all that shit out and go, what a bunch of fucking idiots. I don't have to worry about them. Yep. I can concentrate on what I got going on here and just hope and try to make things better. Me, on the other hand, I only get to take my remote and hit the power button. Turn off. Bang.
Right.
That's the end of that. And I need to, because you know what's happening is I recognize within myself I'm too close to the product. Familiarity beget negativity, and I feel negative. I'm so negative, I can't even enjoy the product. So the best thing I need to do is turn it the fuck off and do anything else.
Yeah.
And for 4 weeks, I have not watched a whole lot of wrestling. When you walked in here, I was watching Rowdy Roddy Piper from like 1985.
Right.
Because, and you know what else is funny? It occurred to me this week. Part of the reason why I really like Japanese wrestling, besides the fact that they hit hard and they move fast and all that sort of jazz, is they don't speak fucking English. It doesn't matter what the fuck they're saying. They could be going like, you know what? This guy was a cockhead in the locker room and fuck him and what? I have no idea. I don't have to worry about any of that backstage bullshit.
Yep.
All I know is, hey, good match.
Yeah.
That's why Japanese wrestling and I get along so well.
Well, and I mean, how can you have your intelligence insulted, you know, right. if you don't even understand what they're trying to insult you with? Like, and you can just appreciate wrestling. And I think that I'll always poke my head in. If I hear a match is good, I'll like tune in and watch it. But
right.
I've been putting a lot of multi-man matches recently, so I've been having to watch a lot of Lucha stuff in order to bring some stuff to the table that is not being brought to the table. I had a three-way last night with Chase Bell and Damian Drake. And I was able to convince those fine gentlemen, we need to do something that people have not seen. Mm-hmm. And then that way we can make sure that we stand out on a card where there's wrestling.
Right.
And thankfully there was a lot of innovation that was brought from just being smart enough to watch anything that is happening other than what's going on right now in wrestling.
それにしても山田さん、最近のこのハーリーレースというのは、ババに PWF のベルトを奪われ、それからあの若いキリー・フォン・エリックにミズーリー州ヘビー級のベルトを奪われた。最近ちょっとついてないような感じがしますね。
はい、今のところね、あのハリーレースとしてはややどん底の状態が続いてたわけですね、
はい、
それだけに起死回生の大ホームランというものを狙ってるでしょうね、う
ん、そうですね。そしてまた一時はあのブルーヤマチクの WWA の世界ヘビー級のベルトを持ってまして、一度は三冠王に輝いた男ですがね。
そうですね、
このところちょっとついておりません。しかし佐藤さん、
はい、
今無冠なんですけれども、なんて言うんでしょうか、この王者の風格という、なんというかものすごい貫禄が漂いますね。
そうですね、未だにやっぱりアメリカ全米ですね、
はい、
保守的な存在というのは変わりませんね。
そうですね、まあ、普通ですとかつては三冠王に輝いて今無冠ということになりますと、まあ、失意のどん底に陥るわけなんですけれども、しかしレースは王者の風格、それから貫禄を全く失っておりません。
まずね、そういった様子は微塵もないですね。
本当に感じられませんね。
威風堂々というか、
はい、
常にですね、自分が世界のマット界をリードしているんだと言わんばかりですね、
う
ん、
そうですね。さあ、そのハーリーレースがパイルドライバー同点不意打ちを仕掛けました。うまく成功しております。日本のファンにも常に温かく迎えられます。ハーリーレース、まさにミスタープロレス。今度はヘッドバット、2度目のヘッドバットでありますが、これは耳のあたりに当たりましたね。
はい、あの先ほどからですね、レースが狙っているのはあの横ですね、側頭部と言いましょうか。
はい。
Well, let me ask you this. Two questions.
Yes.
Did you win? Sorry, I know
No.
you took a drink. All right, here's my next question.
Yes.
Don't be insulted by this either. Do you ever win?
Do I ever win?
I'm just wondering. You know, I ask. The independent at wrestling at this level, I wonder if wins matter at all.
So it depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
And I won a match against Gregory Sharp by disqualification for the Nevada State Championship, which I am very upset about.
Right.
And
because you don't get to have the, what'd you say, the Nevada State?
Nevada State Championship.
The silver, it's got to have like a cool nickname, the silver nickel or something.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a silver nickel.
You know what I mean? Or the silver state. It should be called the silver something title belt.
Yes.
It's got to have a cool nickname.
And it's held by Gregory Sharp.
Yeah.
And he's somebody that I came up with that I would consider a friend that has become an absolute dick. And I am currently in a situation where I'm very much being placed into the Nevada State division.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, unfortunately, yes, I should be happy with being in that division, but I'm not happy yet because I technically should be the champion and I'm not.
Right.
So Damian Drake is somebody who I helped train, and I don't know where his head's at right now. He's dancing a lot and things of that nature. And Chase Bell is finding his footing in Vegas. And he's incredible. But it's been a while since I've been on a tear, since Death Proof split.
Right.
You know, because we weren't on a tear then. You know, we did win that match with Violence is Forever. But with what Jay has going on with New Japan Strong, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And right now I'm in a period to where I'm going to have to think about what next year looks like for me moving forward.
Yeah, what do you want to do? At what point do you barge into the promoter's office and you go, you stick your chest out and you go, I think I'm world title ready.
Yeah. I don't do that. I let my work speak for itself. But
I know it's kind of a joke.
I have told Joe DeFalco that I respect Damian Drake, but I don't know if I appreciate him not taking things as seriously as I think that he should.
Mm.
So I've got some bones to pick.
Is this some brother kayfabe shit?
Yeah, for somebody that loves to fucking talk about protecting kayfabe.
We always walk a fine line in here.
Yes, absolutely. All I'm saying is that the match that I had, you can watch on the FSW network.
I did watch you attempt to put two people simultaneously into a crossface.
Yes.
It was a valiant effort.
Yes.
it was not bad.
Yeah, there's things that'll be worked on in the lab.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was a fun match.
Hey, man, that room is specifically for trying things out.
Oh, yeah.
I would never say anything to anyone that they tried in there, whether it was a success or bad. You gave it a shot. You know, what does that room hold? 70 people tops?
I'm so sorry.
What is that room hold?
If you like squeeze them in, it's about 150, I think, you can get in there.
Except for me. I that would be the point where I turn around and walk out like, yo, do you not own an air conditioner? There's sweaty balls in here.
Oh, absolutely.
With that many people in there.
Hey,
everyone breathing through their mouth. Ugh.
I've been driving around with no AC this entire summer. It's what keeps my cardio in check.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
A fate worse than death in the city of Las Vegas.
Yes.
Hey, so I know I brought up Japanese wrestling a bit ago. Today's episode we're going to call Giant Baba. One of the most important figures in the history of Japanese professional wrestling, trained by Ricky Dozan alongside Antonio Inoki, went on to create, I believe, All Japan with Ricky Dozan's kids.
I believe so as well, yes.
His sons. And he stayed there until he died, and the place fell to bits the minute he kicked off.
Well, there was a little bit of a resurgence during the Kijimuto era.
Right.
But it really fell off.
Basically right after he died. When his wife took over.
Yeah.
Misawa felt that we should try to elevate some people, and she really wanted to revolve around the current stars that, you know, you could say they were the Hulk Hogans of their time period, and business went to shit, and of course Misawa split.
Yeah.
And took the entire roster, and that's a hard thing to overcome.
And created Pro Wrestling Noah.
Right.
And that, what a brilliant name for a wrestling promotion.
I do like it.
Yeah.
You don't hear a whole lot, you know, oftentimes when you hear like new, with all due respect to FSW, but you don't hear a whole lot of like new and interesting names in the world of, you know, you hear some in the independents, but like, you know, something like Power Pro instead of like, hey, we're PCW or whatever. It's always something W.
Yes.
I wish there were more interesting names out there.
Well, Chikara, Relentless. And there's Prestige. Right. So there's a few companies that have some I think it started with Chikara.
I like Progress on paper.
Yeah.
I like the logo. I like, you know, it's English strong style. You know, just the name Progress. I like it on paper. I couldn't say anything about their shows.
Right. They're a good company.
Well, I'm sure they're a good company, but they also allow some wacky shit to go on the undercard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, for me,
wacky as in
there's some people who I wouldn't pay $2 to watch wrestle.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't mean to be mean spirited. Yeah. I'll just say, look, there's a lot of shit on the indies that I go, who let this guy in the ring?
Right.
You know, whatever.
Yes, absolutely. Well, indie wrestling is just kind of plagued with that right now.
It's the way it is. I mean, that as far as schools. You know, it's the law of diminishing returns. Forever, it was a very protected business. And over time, you know, every generation, someone else starts a school, and someone who's a student of that school starts a school, and where we're at now. I can't speak to your school. I know you personally, and I know you to be a great human being and a decent wrestler. So for all I know, what you're doing is great, but I cannot say that for the rest of the country.
Right. And
just anyone who has $2,000 or whatever can play.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And eventually the bubble will pop, you know, and I've been trying to tell people, excuse me, there was the...
Oh, we should mention that last week on the air, you developed some sort of cold or fucking walking pneumonia, and we still got some remnants.
Yes, and yeah, I'm still draining, very much so.
But you know what? Here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering at what point will someone go, I'm starting a school, but it's going to be more like a dojo. There's going to be discipline. There's going to be more to it than just learning, you know, fucking tie-ups and shit like that. As opposed to a place where people can just show up and fuck around and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And there's both.
That's what I'm saying. Know? I'm wondering if the balloon will pop and it'll go to that sort of thing where it's like, yeah, we need to take a little bit better care of our industry.
Right. Well, no.
No.
No. The professional wrestling industry, unfortunately, does not understand the concept of
discipline,
protection, not rewarding bad behavior, and things like that. And it's sad. And there's some companies that they're doing it the right way, but are they being seen? There's companies that are out there that I'm finding out about that I'm surprised that more people don't know about. Mm. And as far as schools go, Torture Chamber Pro is a school that's ran by Drew Onyx in Canada. I can't remember specifically exactly where.
Christ, what a name. Torture Chamber.
And
because it's a school and it's a legit shoot house.
It's very much there's a little bit of wizardry, but it's sure, it's very much a shoot house.
It's close to Pancrase.
Yes. Ooh. But
I wish he had the wherewithal to name it something a little different. Torture Chamber.
I think that Jesus. Yeah.
I guess it describes it, but look, if I was going to start a rock band tomorrow, I would not call us the Rock Band or whatever.
Right. All I know is that I like the name, and Drew Onyx brings some incredible things to the table.
The poem lacks poetry.
Yeah. Davey Richards, I believe, is a Team Ambition, you know, like, and Davey don't fuck around, man. Like, Davey, if anyone gets the opportunity to take a seminar or go to St. Louis and train with Davey, do it, you dummies.
Did you say Davey Richards or Davey Smith?
Davey Richards.
Well, if you get a chance to train with Davey Smith, I'd take that opportunity too.
Absolutely. There's actually a really good seminar that Davey Boy Smith Jr. did that is a wealth of shoot catch wrestling knowledge.
Are we talking about on YouTube or something?
Yes, you can find that one on YouTube for sure.
Sure.
And it's just something.
Let me guess. Hannibal put it out there.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Hannibal didn't put that one out there.
Where's somebody that guy else right now? Is he in jail?
I wouldn't be, man. Once again, man, I don't know enough about the dude to say anything about the dude, but from the outside looking in,
it's not look good.
No.
I only know one thing. He's a fucking bore of an interview. That's it.
CM Punk. I feel bad making an impression of somebody that I've never met before that would probably take umbrage with it. But
sorry about that, Hannibal. We don't know you.
Yeah.
Just busting balls.
Absolutely.
またこの投手ところを変えましたね山田さん
そうですね今の鉄球攻撃でまたちょっと様子が違ってきますね
はいさあ今度は音をラップへ出てまいりましたチャレンジャーのハーリーレースとしては非常に珍しい椅子を持ちました椅子が両選手の間に入るそして椅子攻撃椅子がぶっ壊れました頭を打ち砕きますジャイアントババさあチャンスここで一気に攻めたおっとカウント2 一気にピューポールの体勢、いいチャンスを見つけました。ジャイアントババ今度は川津がけ、川津落とし、さあものすごい大きな技を見せた川津落とし、そのまま全体重を乗せてカウント2。しかしハーリーレースも必死で返します。ババ防衛か、それともハーリーレース再びタイトル奪還か、好試合を迎えております。再び場外ジャイアントババを放り投げる。どうですか山田さん、今までの展開。
いやー、ババ選手がね必死になってピンを狙ってるんですがね、
はい、
レースがやっぱりしぶといですね。
本当にしぶといですね。あのセントルイスチェッカードームでの恨みをこの東京で晴らそうというハリーレースの気持ち、もうタイトルへの執念だけ、そういう感じがいたします。ブレンバスター、ロープ越しのブレンバスター、おっと足が引っかかった、そのまま覆いかぶさって、どうだ、完全ではありませんね佐藤さん。
そうですね、ここでガンガン行きたいところですね。
そうですね、さあババがここで防衛の可能性が出てまいりました。バックを取ってバックドロップ、豪快に209センチから逆さまに落としました。さあ聞いてるぞ、ハリーレース立てません、ピンポールに行くか、今ゆっくりとピンポールに行った、しかしロープサイドだがどうだ、カウント2まで入りました。ハリーレースも必死で頑張ります。
今のバックドロップね、ババ選手もちょっと後頭部打ったみたいですね。
そうですね、両者打ちましたか。今度はジャイアントババ場外に送り出されました。ハリーレースがちょっと深く息をしています。さあハリーレースも苦しい、一方のジャイアントババもちょっと苦しくなってまいりました。場外半身の体勢、これがリングの中、チャレンジャーのハーリーレース、ババがゆっくりとカウント10を頭の中で聞き入れながら、今またエプロンサイドにやってまいりました。まだまだ佐藤さん、勝負の行方は分かりませんね。
そうですね、
今パンチを打とうとするハーリーレース、これを防いだジャイアントババ、エプロンサイドで防ぎました。まずチョップを一発かませて、さあババが入ってきた、ババが入ってきて、さあハーリーレースを放り投げて、なんだネットブリータードロップ、うまいタイミング、ネットブリータードロップ、さあカバーの体勢、さあどうだカウント、あっとカウント、あっと足
が出ましたね、
ハーリーレースの右足。
Anyway, well, I didn't mean to completely stop there. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of videos on or clips on today's episode because I'm not sure what I would be able to find on Giant Baba, especially, well, I guess I could find some English. He did a lot of stuff in America. He was an NWA champion, wasn't he?
Yes.
Three times, I think.
I think you'll be able to find something. But Baba is, if you're going to watch Giant Baba, may I recommend watch his early stuff before he aged?
Sure, of course. Well, do you ever not age? We all age.
Well, but some people age more gracefully than others, and some people like Gran Hamada,
right,
never age. And I'm pretty sure that dude is still doing fucking Hurricane Ranas somewhere in Japan right now.
Everyone with acromegaly
looks
good before they quote unquote age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Andre the Giant when he was young was a phenomenon.
Yes. And I think that it's worth watching some of his stuff to appreciate there was a level of athleticism with him. But I do feel like him and Harley Race, I look at as like the people that by the time the wheels were falling off, you know, there was a little bit of rust. And maybe a couple bullet holes.
I mean, there a lot of these guys' diets back then was just red meat and full-flavored beer.
Yep.
Leaded, as they say.
Yes.
I don't even know that light beer existed back then. And they all had extended bellies and all this shit, you know.
I love that. I love that old physique. It's so great.
I do too, which was part of the reason why I fell in love with William Regal.
Yeah.
Early on, because he went through a period where he had that bloated beer gut. Now, of course, he would probably say, those are the worst years of my life.
Yeah.
But to me, I was like, this guy's great. He's old school. He looks like he could beat the shit out of everyone in there with that weird dad bod that's acquired by drinking too much, you know, Miller High Life.
Yes.
The champagne of beers, by the way.
Champagne.
And you don't see it anymore. Now everyone's got 8-pack abs.
There's a few, and there's one guy specifically. I think his name is like JD Drake or something like that, man. But he's incredible.
Yeah.
JD
Drake has the beer gut?
I can't remember the dude's name, but I do know there's also a guy named Beef that
Beef.
Looks... Yeah.
Even Hamburger is only 100 pounds.
Beef is not his... It's not his name. Just isn't Beef. Oh. I'm the full names just escape me. But he's phenomenal. Silas Mason and Devin Dixon are renaissance of the old school bod, man. Yeah. And I mean, but Silas doesn't have like the over. Like Silas looks good right now, man.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, you know, I think the beer swilling old tough guy act is just not welcome in the locker rooms of any wrestling promotion, and that's why you're just not going to see it.
Well, I don't necessarily know if it's not just... There's a few exceptions, like beer swilling Hunter Freeman, the backwoods brawler. That dude is country redneck. And
he needs to increase. Well, here's the combination. You do need to work out and drink the beer to get that
body,
that Harley Race look, right?
Yes.
What I find in pro wrestling is two different forms: the super shredded guy who looks like Ricochet or Finn Balor or whatever.
Yes.
Or Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
Nondescript. I hate to pick on Chuck Taylor.
I enjoy Chuck Taylor because Chuck Taylor is very self-aware. He's been self-aware throughout his career. He had a DVD, Best Of, and it was called Chuck Taylor Tries His Best.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was. And he had like a little tiny training montage of like the alarm clock going off, him drinking a Mountain Dew, and then just sitting down and playing Metal Gear Solid. Right. It was funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
That's great and all.
Yes.
But look, I'll say this. I imagine if you were lucky enough to get television time, you got signed to, even if it was Impact.
Yeah.
Sorry, Impact, but you're that low totem pole television time. You would not take it for granted because now's time to make hay because the sun is shining.
Right.
And look, I don't know if Chuck Taylor has some sort of thyroid issue or something, but
which
look,
is a very real possibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want to crap on him.
Yeah.
But look, let's face it. Since he's been on TV, since AEW existed, he's had to resort to wearing the singlet top.
Right.
To keep it all in, so
well,
to speak.
But I also have to wear the singlet top from the sagging skin that I have.
Sure. But
you know,
I know of your deal.
Yeah.
Because you used to be fat and now you're in great shape.
Yep.
That is not, we know his deal.
Right.
Kind of.
We
don't know if he has some sort of health thing.
Well, that's what I found out about Chris Hero. Chris Hero has a thyroid condition, which is like before I even.
I remember when you were expressing your disappointment for him, and I was like, I don't know, man. He kind of looks good. It's a shame that he has the Rikishi buns, but, you know, maybe that's what he walks around comfortably as.
There's absolutely no disappointment with him now. You know, like, that's a hard hand.
Yeah.
And I never knew the struggles of what that was until I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And now I actually understand just how much of an actual struggle that is. And when you're in the same household and you're both eating the same food and you can see a difference in your body, but then in your partner, and then when your partner actually works out harder than you,
right.
And like puts everyone to shame. And every now and again, I'll hear a comment from somebody and like, well, I don't understand why she looks like that. She's always in the gym. It's like, it's actually because her fucking thyroid doesn't work. Thanks right. for... And so I retract any statements that I made about Hero. It's hard, man.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
There's a lot of things that people don't know. You know, we as fans, we, you know, turn on and we go, this guy looks great and this guy doesn't look as great. And what's going on here? Well, one, genetics.
Yes.
Two is might be hard work. But three is just a bad health hand.
Yes.
That happens.
Or just poor life choices.
There's that. And then there's help.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, HGH or whatever, you know, people are on about.
Yep.
There are so many variables that it's hard to say. But look, I'm saying that, I don't have any issues. Give me some wood to knock on.
There it is.
But look, let's face it, Chuck Taylor's getting terribly close to my dad bod look.
Right. And I'm just saying,
he's on TV and a buddy should lean over and go, bro, come with me to the gym and let's, you know, let's not take this for granted.
And for some people, you know, like Eddie Kingston, like he's
gone. I would tell him the same thing too.
He goes to the gym.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Eddie Kingston is like in the gym quite a bit. But like you said, genetics have a big factor in that.
Sure. And but you, as a former fat guy, can attest that hard work does show results.
Yes.
It may not show it as fast as the guy standing next to you.
Right.
And I've not seen any difference in Kingston. Not to bust his bubble. He's one of my favorites right now.
Right. Absolutely. And that look, for me, works for him. You know, like, and it's just, it's one of those things that...
But we're hardcore wrestling marks. I mean, and there is something to be said. Say what you want about Vince McMahon. There's a lot of shitty things to say, but he did look at everything from the point of view of someone who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And go, this guy would look good on our poster, and this guy won't.
Yes.
And as much as that would hurt someone like you and I, who was like, hey, why is John Cena on this fucking poster and not CM Punk?
Right.
Because maybe he felt the tattoos would turn off a certain sect of the audience or whatever.
Right. And you know, it's, man, wrestling is just, it's hard. It's hard.
You wish it didn't have to be that hard.
Yeah.
You wish it could just
believe me, I wish it didn't have to be that hard.
Like, every now and then I mourn my innocence of my youth and think of, you know, just seeing someone who was not even important to me as a kid, like a Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah.
And just being like, you know what I mean? Because I just didn't like him just because he looked like an old lady. You know, that's just boo this guy. And of course he was a heel, so that didn't help either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now there's so much that gets weighed into how am I going to enjoy a show from minute to minute. And, you know, the thought of, well, I wouldn't have booked it that way comes up in my head a lot. That's when I know I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Because when I start thinking like that, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I wish it didn't have to be so complicated. But there's so many factors that make it impossible. You know, the Meltzers of the world won't shut the fuck up about dumb shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. I do my best. At least I have the good sense to recognize this behavior and to recognize this stuff and go, no, I'll take the break.
Yeah.
People will just actually, I mean, this entire industry is based on it. Just people talking shit.
Well, and it doesn't just stop with inside of the ring. I mean,
right.
It reminds me just of like
People magazine.
Yes.
Celebrities. Like, they're just like us. They take out the trash.
Yeah.
They walk their dogs.
Yeah. And you know, it's everybody wants to also be right about something.
Right.
So what they're going to do is they're going to educate themselves on a topic, and then they will then go on the internet and they'll force their opinion onto others. And when somebody says, I don't agree with that, then it turns
you're
into
a Nazi.
Or you can just be like Kanye West and then just literally deny the Holocaust has ever happened and then actually be a bad human being.
Bro, what's this guy on about?
Oh, what? Brother. Man, I'm just thankful that Kanye West has come in to take a little bit of the shine off of pro wrestling for a second. Focus on that while everyone's cleaning the shit off the walls at AEW.
I don't know much about what's going on with Kanye West. I mean, I knew that things were wacky when this guy started wearing MAGA hats. But hey, look, I'll say it. His first album is an absolute masterpiece. I can't speak to anything after that.
Well, I just remember the Can't Tell Me Nothing music video with Zach Galifianakis in it. And he's just lip syncing the song on a farm.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's fucking hilarious. That's the only thing that I will ever give Kanye West credit for.
I wonder if everyone who's ever known him, like Zach Galifianakis and any number of people, are like, yo, what the fuck?
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Tila Tequila situation.
Oh God! Oh, that's right. She was a Nazi sympathizer for a minute.
It started slow, right? It started with like, "Hey guys, I think there's some questionable things about the Holocaust."
Folks, for context, Tila Tequila was a MySpace celebrity.
Tila Tequila
got her own MTV show.
She was probably one of the first credited influencers.
I lost a job because of her once.
What?
I'm serious.
Oh, wait a second. You've told me this in private. This is actually funny to tell.
All right, I'll tell the story.
Please.
Even though it completely derails whatever it is you're talking about. I used to work at Planet Hollywood, or there was a casino out here called the Aladdin. And at a certain point, while I was working there, it became Planet Hollywood. And I was working as a PBX operator, which is essentially, whenever a phone call comes into the building or from one of the hotel rooms, it comes through me and I go, oh, what can I, you know, help you with? No, I want chicken wings or I want to book a room or whatever. That was my gig. And for a stretch of time, I worked the graveyard shift.
Yeah.
So from like, you know, 11 or midnight to like 7-8 in the morning. And in that time, I'd get no phone calls because everyone is passed out drunk somewhere.
Yeah.
So I would probably get 10 phone calls in an entire shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I barely had to say anything. So the company told us like, hey, you're free to use the company computers to, you know, check your email and stuff. And I thought, oh, great. Cause I had a band at the time and I was doing a lot of booking, you know, of tours and things of that nature. And I was utilizing MySpace because a lot of these
business ends that you took care of were on MySpace.
Theaters and dive bars and wherever, you know, rock shows were happening. I would just go to, they had MySpace pages.
Yep.
And one day I got called in, actually months later after this graveyard business was over, I got called in and was told, do you recognize this website? I was told this in human resources. And the lady passed me a sheet of paper. And what was written on it was, TiaFashions.com. And I said, no, what's that? Because I had no idea what the fuck it was. And she goes, oh, it was a website that you frequented. And I was like, I've never been to whatever this bullshit is. And they said, well, we have to suspend you pending investigation. I was like, okay. I was completely clueless. At the time, I was the employee of the month.
Yeah.
Like, because I was pretty good at selling rooms. Big shock. A guy who has a podcast can work his mouth a little bit.
Hey, now.
Anyway, I come back 3 days later and I'm told I'm fired. And the official reason was using the company computer to watch internet porn and other solicitous, you know, sort of stuff. And that was news to me. I'd never seen one boob while I was working for that entire stretch. So I went on unemployment. And then like 3 or 4 months later, I got told, your unemployment is being appealed by Planet Hollywood, which seemed petty for one.
Yeah.
But I also didn't have a job. So guess what? I will go to court and defend myself because it wasn't true in the first place.
I was
kind of upset. I really liked that job. It was pretty easy.
Yeah.
And so I had to go to court. And if I lost, I would have had to pay back $3,000-$4,000 worth of or more of that unemployment that I had received.
That's so crazy.
Fuck yeah, yeah it man. Was. But luckily, yeah. I didn't have a job, so I was free to just go there and go, yeah, let's get it on.
Yeah.
And the day one, right before I walked into the courtroom, this lady approached me. She goes, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm Planet Hollywood's lawyer. I go, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And she hands me this binder that is, you know, like a fucking Necronomicon, this gigantic book that was the size of my fist. And I was like, well, what's this? And he goes, oh, that's all the evidence against you. It's like, what? So I was like, okay. And then we go in there, we sit down, and the judge says, have you had a chance to look over the evidence? I was like, this fucking broad here just handed it to me not 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, she yelled at her and you know, and then she said, look, we'll reconvene in a week. Well, I didn't need a week to figure out what had happened. I figured it out inside of 10 minutes. Anybody who looked inside that binder could have figured it out. And what it was, if you remember MySpace, like up at the top of the of it, you know, it had the information, like it showed a picture, it showed their top six or eight or whatever number they had.
Yes.
That would evolve. And then it would have, you know, contact information and the button for DMing. And then if you continue to scroll down, it would show a comment section that would just go on forever in perpetuity. And what people would do is to comment on someone else's MySpace page, instead of just writing words, they would also utilize HTML code.
Yes.
To take a picture or something from another website and place it in their comment section.
Yeah.
Right. And I looked at this quote unquote evidence, and it had stuff like marijuanaart.com. Now, everyone who knows me knows I don't smoke weed or do any drugs.
Right.
Not only now, but then as well. And it's like, why would I ever go there? But I quickly figured out that it showed that I clicked on marijuanaart.com and Tia Fashion and any number of websites supposedly at the exact same second, like 15 to 20 with every one of these things.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I see what happened. Their IT department apparently doesn't understand HTML code. And they think I was going to all these websites when really I didn't see any of this shit at all because I never scrolled down.
Yeah.
And that, so for the next 7 days, for 8 hours a day, their eyewitness, I'm using bunny ears there, would read one of the lines.
He
would
and say, just go to the website. Yeah.
Yeah. He would go, he'd go on, you know, September 21st, you know, Mr. Styles did go to, he went to marijuanaart.com and this, this website has been marked as, you know,
salacious.
Salacious.
Yeah.
Right. And then they go, Mr. Styles rebuttal. And I go, yeah, how many other websites does it say that I clicked on at the exact same second?
Yeah.
And he'd go, oh, 25. I go, all right, now tell me, is it humanly possible to click on 25 links at the exact same second?
I mean, if you open that many web browsers and want to crash your fucking computer, sure.
But in the exact same second, do you think you can do
no,
that?
No, you can't.
Right. And he, so his answer to that was, I don't know, I'm not an expert. We did that song and dance.
I don't know. We're not. I'm not an expert.
For 8 hours a day, for 7 days.
That's amazing.
Before Plant Hollywood finally said, "Fuck it."
Yeah,
this isn't even worth it.
Nice, nice.
Hey, guess what? You guys got a job, and I fucking don't.
Yeah, this is what happens when you give me free time.
Yeah. So Giant Baba.
Yeah, man. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, that was my long-winded story about getting fired from Planet Hollywood for using the computer for porn.
But Tila Tequila, to bring her up, is she reached a level of fame.
Yes.
And then eventually I think some of the ink that was in the money rubbed off through her fingertips and then got into her bloodstream and then affected her mentally and made her start making a series of very bizarre and out of nowhere statements and comments.
Yes.
That started small enough that then started with, maybe the Holocaust wasn't real, guys, to right. Hitler wasn't that bad of a guy. Like,
I think it started with his fashion sense, which is not out of the ordinary. I mean, Hugo Boss did make some pretty sweet uniforms.
Yes.
that's a good place to start. But anything positive outside of that, I guess Adidas and Puma came out of the Nazi regime as well.
Yeah.
So that's a bonus. I can't think of any other... German Shepherds.
Yeah. Like we're really trying to stretch here.
I can't think of any other good things about Nazi Germany.
Yeah. And
that's it. The Volkswagen Beetle.
And that's the thing is that I remember Casey was saying, well, you know, Kanye has been saying crazy stuff for a long time. I'm like, yeah, but he's now officially entered the first stage of Tila Tequila.
Right.
And it's only
no
the beginning.
Coincidence. She's a juggalo.
Whoop, whoop. She actually had shit thrown at her on stage. Juggalos didn't even want to deal with her fucking ass.
That's when you know you've hit rock bottom, when you get pegged in the head with a bottle of Faygo.
Yeah.
And told, get the fuck off stage.
Yeah, loaded with piss.
All right, look, we went the entire episode barely talking about wrestling, I think. Let's say something nice about Giant Bomb.
All Japan Pro Wrestling was fucking great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Up till close to the end. Well, up till close till the Noah's Ark took off.
Watch it. go watch some Giant Baba matches.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Diva Looter production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music by Timothy Styles. Follow the show on Instagram at Turnbuckle Boogie. And for merchandise, follow the link in the show notes to our Brainbuster Tea Store. See you next Monday.